Smooth walker, cool talker, sweaters made of tailored cream. Old schooler, and no one looks cooler in a dad blue pair of jeans. He's a one-man show.
You could listen to this all day, couldn't you?
This is sultry. There, I said it. I'm not afraid to admit it. This is sultry. You know what
Can
I'm talking about.
Can you say sultry
about
on the radio?
We're not supposed to. Oh, I'll pay God. The fine. I don't care. This is sultry music
I'll
we're
bail
listening
you
to.
Out, baby.
Ariana Savalas is here. She's going to bail me out of jail pretty soon because I said it's sultry because it is. She's performing at the Arcata Theater, and you didn't even know this was coming up. You knew you'd be performing at the Arcata, but this is a last-minute appearance on our show.
I'm absolutely.
Glad you.
Hence the last-minute appearance. And
you look pretty good.
I have
good
a face for radio
minute.
This morning, so... It's really, well, Ron Onesti.
It's very nice to be here.
It does a great job running the Arcata Theater. He's got the speakeasy up there. He's just opened something up in Evanston, too. That man is magical.
Oh, my God. No, magical.
But Listen. He didn't tell you had an interview here till what, 8:30 this morning?
I mean, but for Italians, that's basically on time. They're like the Greeks. We're very similar people. Everything's, you know, we crave the excitement. So,
the style
keep me on my toes.
Here's what I love. The style of music that you're singing right there.
Oh,
it's a
thanks.
Throwback
yes.
to a time when, I don't know, everything was just a little bit different. People would go to these clubs mm-hmm. and enjoy the music, and things have changed a little bit, but there's been a resurgence of your type of music, and I'm so glad.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad, too. It's good for me, for sure. Yeah, you know, it's really wonderful to see. I think that there is a desire for something intimate in this crazy world we're living in. I think that might explain a little bit of the resurgence of this kind of music, because it really was, I mean, cabaret and vaudeville, it was really an intimate experience
Absolutely.
For the audience. I mean, even if you were playing it in a huge club and this and that, I mean, it was something you get up in your audience and you really, you know, you see the beads of sweat on their face. I mean, it is just a different kind of art form, and it's just so lovely to see that people love it as much as I do. God bless.
And it's more than just, you know, no offense to Taylor Swift, but she gets up there and does what she does, but with
and
this
boy,
type of,
does she do it?
She does it fantastically.
I mean. Mm-hmm.
But this is so different. This combines like a show and a concert and a little burlesque. It's everything rolled into one.
Well, in St. Charles, he's so much burlesque that we really feel like we feel so common around those parts. But
how did you become interested in it? You didn't live through this when this was in its heyday. So what was it?
Thank you for not aging me. I appreciate it.
You don't seem to be in your 70s.
Well,
I could be reading this wrong.
Put your glasses on.
Why did you gravitate toward this?
You know, I think it had a lot to do with my father. I think it had a lot to do with my father and my grandparents. Obviously, my dad, he was born in 1922. So if he were alive today, he'd be significantly older. I think he'd be 95. And so he grew up during that time, you know, and he grew up, you know, with that era of showmanship and that era of music, and was friends, very good friends with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis. And, you know, so I grew up with him only for 7 short years.
Right. You were 7 when he passed away.
Yeah. And so listening to this kind of music was really a way for me to keep him alive in a lot of ways. And my grandparents were, you know, my grandma Gloria, may she rest in peace, was an amazing musician, concert pianist, was accepted to Juilliard, left so she could have a family.
Wow.
And my grandpa is a jazzophile, obsessed with Ella Fitzgerald and Peggy Lee. So, you know, they saw me, of course, listening to Britney Spears when I was 10 and slapped me across the face and gave me all of their old records. I remember my grandpa letting me borrow all of his old Sinatra records.
Oh, nice.
This big box. And it was life changing. I mean, I think I was the only 12-year-old at my school that was listening to Sinatra's greatest hits. And it just kind of spawned from there, you know? It just.
If we haven't mentioned, your dad is Telly Savalas.
That is correct. Not Yul Brynner.
Not Yul Brynner, but Telly Savalas.
The other one.
And not Professor X from the X-Men.
Definitely
but Telly Savalas.
No, not Bruce Willis.
No, not Bruce Willis.
He was great in Die Hard, but not my dad.
When you would walk down a street with him, because the world loved your dad.
Yes.
So when you would walk down the street and people would just come out of the woodwork to say hi or tell a story, did you think that this is how life must be?
You know what's funny is that I really didn't know him as a celebrity at all
until
I was older. I really didn't, because when, you know, he passed when I was 7.
Yeah.
And we lived a very... I guess we lived in a hotel at the Sheraton Universal, but I mean, we lived a very normal life, you know, for being Eloise. My life was very away from the celebrity scene, the Hollywood scene. And when he passed away, my mom thought that it was a good idea. And also she wanted to be close to her family in Minnesota. So I actually grew up in the Midwest for 11 years. Yeah, I spent 11 years of my life here. So I lived this life with my papa, which was, 7 years of just knowing him really as papa. I didn't know him as a celebrity. We'd visit movie sets because he was obsessed with us and he'd bring us, my brother went to the White House. He was like the first kid to be invited to some dinner or something because my dad would not go unless he could bring him. So, we were with him, but never really knew him as Telly Savalas. We only knew him as our dad. And then, when he passed away, we lived a very normal life in Minnesota. I grew up 10 years. I went to a Catholic convent school. It was a very different life.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really until I was a teenager that I even started watching his videos and really seeing holy,
Didn't you love Kojak?
Oh my God. It's just such a good show. Even if he wasn't my dad, it's such a good show.
Your dad and your uncle, right?
And my uncle, yeah. And he's so funny.
Yeah.
George is really funny in that show. Yeah. Like, I never really realized because I was always terrified of him when I was a kid, I guess. Like, I'd cry every time he walked into a room. Terrified.
Really?
Probably because we had the same hair, so I was afraid I was going to look like him when I grew up. But, like, I was terrified of him. I couldn't stand him, apparently. And then, I'm watching him in Kojak. He's so funny. He's so loud. Our whole family's so loud.
I believe
And not just Kojak, but he's Ernst Blofeld in James Bond.
That's true. In the greatest James Bond.
In the greatest James Bond of all time.
George Lazenby was.
I know. No, that's not a bad movie. That's a really good movie. You don't think? No.
People make fun of George Lazenby, but.
I appreciated the movie. I thought it was fun.
Did you ever see your dad in a movie called Capricorn One?
Yes.
Where he's a pilot?
Oh my God. It's one of my, that movie, that actually is a really funny story because I love that movie. First, it's one of my favorite movies. He doesn't even show up until the end of the movie.
Right.
Like O.J. Simpson's in that movie.
Everybody's
and like
in
Sam
that movie.
Watterson, like my favorite actor from Law and Order.
James Brolin is
in
that movie.
Oh my God. It's such a great movie. It's so random. But my mom, was a lot younger than my dad.
Yeah.
They had a 35 year age difference.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah. So she's like 18 years old or like 17, and she's watching Capricorn One with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right. And my dad comes on at the end of the movie, and it's a really crazy movie. I'm not going to give away the ending for anyone who hasn't seen it, but my dad is kind of the hero. He saves the day.
Yeah.
And everybody in the movie theater jumps up and starts giving my dad a standing ovation and clapping. The irony, like my mom didn't know that, in 3 years she was going to meet my father and that was going to be her husband. She's looking at this dirty pilot, just disheveled, gross, But
how'd they meet then?
Oh man, I don't even know if we have time for that story, but very long story short, my mom was a travel agent in Minnesota and she was a pretty terrible travel agent. She booked her family on this amazing trip to Disney World or Disneyland in Los Angeles. And 2 days into the visit, they were having such a great time. She was their mom, my great aunt. They're having such a good time. And then they're like, Miss Hovland, that was her maiden name. Why haven't you checked out yet? She's like, what? They're like, yeah, you're only supposed to stay for the weekend. They were supposed to stay for a week. She only booked it for a weekend.
Oh,
she's
no.
a really bad travel agent. And it was like, and it was during August. It was packed and there were no hotels around Disneyland. So it was completely packed. So her friend gets on the phone, her other travel agent friend. She's like, okay, the only other hotel in LA that's like kind of fun is Universal Studios. And that was where my father lived. And so they're like, fine. So they're all packing their bags. Everyone's pissed. They wanted to go to Disneyland. So they go to Universal Studios, just like an hour away. They have to take two taxis. And they get in. They turn on the TV. It's August 1677. Elvis just died.
Oh, yeah.
So my grandma's bawling, like losing it. I never saw him in Vegas. Everybody's miserable. So like, just get our stuff together and go downstairs and have dinner. Well, they go downstairs and there's my dad with his brother and this whole harem of his, gambling gentlemen that are just sitting there smoking cigars. My mom walks in and I guess he's just thunderstruck with affection and just chases after him. Of course, my mother has no idea who he is because she didn't really watch TV and she's young. I mean, my mom was only 20 when they met. And of course, he lied and said that he was like 40. I think he was like 55. But they were together ever since she moved to Los Angeles, like, It was wow. really one of those.
That is, like,
I know, it's
magical.
Ruined me. It's ruined me for life because I'm like, how could I ever?
You need a romantic origin story.
Yes,
you do.
You do. You can't just meet at a bar when your parents met like that.
Need some Come story. On, Ariana Savalas is here. She's performing at the Arcata Theater. We'll give you all the information in just a little bit. And you're going
to
do a song for us in a while.
If you force me,
we want
absolutely.
It. We were hoping for it. Stick around a lot more ahead. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Ariana Savalas is here. You were talking about Capricorn One. I just got to throw in that The Dirty Dozen was one of the best movies.
Oh, isn't that a great movie?
Ever.
I love. Thank you. Thank you. That really is a great movie. I mean, it's always really fun to see your dad play a psycho.
Isn't it?
Sexual deviant, man. Delightful.
He used to do these ads for something called The Players Club.
Yes,
did you ever see these?
And did you ever see the spoofs that SNL did?
No.
Oh, did my they? God. Everybody who's listening, you have to go on YouTube and you have to find Jim Carrey and Phil Hartman. Did a spoof
of
my dad. They did the Play With Yourselves Club.
Oh, I remember that.
I'm dying.
The tagline on the ads, he'd always go, Reno, Vegas, Lake Tahoe, and now Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And we'd go, well, if we want to be cool like Telly, we got to be in the Players Club. So my dad signed up for a year, and then when we went to Las Vegas, he would flash the card, and here's what they'd say everywhere he'd flash the card. So?
Like, yeah, exactly.
What does that get you? We don't
care. I mean, you should have had the Players Club. That was the spoof, is that they had like a big bat, and when people wouldn't let you in, you just beat them up. That's it.
That's on SNL?
That's so funny.
I gotta find it.
No, you have to find it. It's so funny.
I gotta find it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Every story of my dad always starts either, you know, your dad and I golfed one time, or, you know, when I was at the casino in Vegas, I'm like, yes. Well,
That's what he did.
God bless him.
All right, what's the song we're going to hear? Tell us what the song is.
God, oh, I didn't decide until 30 seconds ago, but, we were talking about Sinatra. Why don't I do a little Sinatra for
Love
you,
it.
Pals.
Cool.
Yeah?
Love it. Here's Ariana Savalas.
If it sounds bad, it's a jazz chord.
All right.
Can you hear this? I forgot to clip my nails. Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. Oh yeah. In other words, my baby, kiss me. Ooh, fill my heart with song. Let me sing forevermore. Because you all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, my baby, please be true. Ooh, in other words, I love you. Baby, please be true. In other words, I love you.
I'm covered in goosebumps and I might cry.
The singing we knew we'd get, but the whistling is a nice bonus.
I mean, you gotta shock them a little.
Ariana, no one has ever whistled that spectacularly ever.
There was a string of taxi cabs behind you lined up because they thought you needed their service. That's how good that was.
I mean, there's just dogs lining up outside waiting for my autograph.
Oh, is that good?
Oh,
that's
thanks,
so good.
Guys.
It's
so effortless.
You just pick up your ukulele and you smile and it just comes out. There was no effort. It's magical.
Whatsoever.
Oh my God.
I try to do everything I can with the least amount of effort possible. So
can we talk about your involvement with Postmodern Jukebox? Because I love these guys.
I love these guys too.
Haley Reinhart was on with us about two weeks ago.
Oh, great. My sister, man. She's the best.
So
what
they take lead singers like yourself or like her, and they just kind of, it's interchangeable, but everybody who they use just sounds magnificent.
Oh, thank you. Well, Scott, I mean, obviously has exquisite taste. No, it's amazing. Scott really has this uncanny ability to not only find incredible vocalists, because there's a lot of incredible vocalists like that, but honestly, I'm not just saying this because she's one of my best friends. Haley Reinhart quite easily has one of the greatest voices I think I've ever heard in my life. I mean, ever.
I put you up there in completely different voices, though.
Oh,
completely.
God, yes. I'm the low baritone of the group. And
it
you
works.
Know, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to be the tuba. Well,
but they
it's a thankless
that music
job.
From the 40s, they, that style.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's today's music, but done in a 40s kind of a
vein. Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, is it good.
Thank you. You know, and I really give Scott a lot of credit, you know, because again, like I said, there's a lot of great singers, but he chooses people for these tours that, you know, they are such amazing people to work with, you know, because there's no divas. It's just such a family unit. Good. You can feel that on stage. I really feel like that, you know, because this could have easily been a fad. You know, it could have easily been an online trend that kind of blew up and then kind of fizzled out. And it hasn't. You know, God, we just played the Greek Theater in L.A. You know, we played Radio City Music Hall before that. And it's like, you know, this isn't just a fad, and I think that's just a testament to not only how much people love this kind of music, but also just the sort of family element that Scott's been able to create with it.
Right.
You know, and people really get to know us, and it's a really magical experience. It's great for me because I grew up in, you know, the cabaret, which is a very, very small fishbowl, right? The vaudeville cabaret community is very small. And, you know, then seeing Postmodern Jukebox and seeing the kind of success that they were able to have, you know, and being on that bandwagon very early on in their success. And, you know, nobody knew how it was going to blow up. And it was such an amazing thing to see, because I really always thought that, you know, we were on the fringe of this, you know, music society, and to be able to see this be such an underground movement, you know, always made by fans. That's what's so crazy about it, too. You know, they weren't signed to a label until this year. You know, and even now, I think we're only, you know, signed as a distribution deal. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, this didn't start with a record label. It didn't start with a big business. I mean, it started at Scott's basement. I mean, literally in Astoria, New York, in his one bedroom apartment, you know, doing videos out of his kitchen. Yeah. I mean, and so the American dream, you know, it's alive and well.
It's like we all want to go back to a simpler time. I think that's comforting to us, and that might have something to do with it.
I voted for Woodrow Wilson in November.
I mean, you and I both.
Yeah.
I voted for Cher.
I have been looking for an excuse to go to Ron Onesti's Club Arcata, and this just might be it. Ariana Savalas, you will be performing your show through Saturday at Club Arcata.
That's right.
Right
it
above the Arcata
coolest
Theater.
Club you've ever seen. Listen, I've played some really cool clubs all around the
top.
World. No, this is the top.
Yeah, I love
this
it.
Is the coolest club I've ever seen. So you got to come down.
We've got to take this call. Greg, you have been on hold since Ariana walked in here. We have 30 seconds. Go.
Really easy. I've been following Ariana for a while, and there are performers who can sing. There are performers who can dance. There are funny performers. There are musicians that perform. And there are people who can whistle. And there are beautiful people. Ariana is all of those. And anybody who doesn't see her is really missing the boat in terms of entertainment.
Oh, what a sweetheart. Thank you, Greg.
Well, you're very welcome.
I'm going to hire you as my publicist.
I'm going to be coming home late tonight, Ariana, so if you would
leave something
on the counter for dinner.
Oh, sweetie, you know how to talk to me dirty.
All right. Thank you, Greg. Go to clubarcata.com to get tickets. Ariana Savalas is there through Saturday, Club Arcata, or your website. Why don't you give that out?
Just my name, arianasavalas.com. You can find me on all those annoying social media sites.
No, I'm with you.
Great to meet you, Ariana.
So
anytime
nice
you're
to
in
meet
town,
you guys.
Stop
oh,
by.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Can't get rid
pleasure.
Of me.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys.
A quick break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.